Hey, Press Row listeners, it's Mike Golick from Mike and Mike. David and Jay are back at it with more Press Row, and it continues now on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Welcome back into Press Row here in the Home Rate Mortgage Studios at ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Paschal along with Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie producing the show. Hoping everybody out there is having a fabulous Friday. It is a pleasure to be joined on the Hardee's Hotline right now by Derek Tyson of ESPN, who covers Southeastern Conference recruiting not too far away. I know this year's national championship was just decided Monday night, but February 1st will be here before we know it. Derek, thank you so much for joining us. How are you today?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, guys. I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. Let's talk first about Alabama. They get this number one class seemingly every year. How does this year's class, how would you compare it to some of those other top-rated classes that they've had under Nick Saban?
It's right up there with one of his best classes ever. I mean, it's, you know, when you go top to bottom from each position, it's just incredible. With a guy like Najee Harris, the number one running back in the country, Dylan Moses, one of the top, or if not the top linebacker in the country, Alex Leatherwood, one of the top offensive tackles in the country, Jerry Jeudy, a guy that's a lot like Calvin Ridley in the way he plays. It's really incredible. They got the number one dual threat quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa, if I said that right. So top to bottom, it's an incredible class. You know, it's just Nick Saban being Nick Saban. They go out and target the best guys in the country, and they went out and achieved that. So it'll be very difficult for a team to kind of overcome them as the top recruiting class in the country, but with what they put together, it's really impressive.
Derek, I got to commend you. I covered Alabama down in Tampa. I was in Atlanta before that, and everybody just calls him Tua. So congratulations on giving the first and last name a go. Let's talk about Georgia. You know, Mark Richt had top 10 recruiting classes most of the time he was there. He even had some in the top five. But this one with Georgia, you really see them up there with Alabama and Ohio State. Is this the best Georgia class you've seen in your time covering SEC recruiting for ESPN?
Absolutely. It really is. And like you said, Mark Richt had some good classes. I believe they finished, you know, like 7th, 8th, and 9th over the last 3 years or something like that. And, you know, this class is right there, number two, and it's really pushing Alabama for that top spot. And it's really incredible. We all know in the SEC it all starts in the offensive and defensive line, and that's where they've done a fantastic job getting Isaiah Wilson out of Brooklyn, New York, and then Robert Beal, one of the top defensive ends in the country. Andrew Thomas, another offensive tackle. So Malik Herring, a defensive end. Guys like that they really have put a focus on getting guys, getting bigger guys and more physical guys up front on both lines of scrimmage. And then the other thing is really putting a fence around the state. Their top in-state competition is Georgia Tech, and they run a completely different scheme than Georgia runs. So they really wanted to focus on the in-state guys, getting a D'Angelo Gibbs. I already mentioned Robert Beal, William Poole, guys like that. I mean, they really have done a fantastic job of identifying the top guys in the state, going out and getting them. So I really commend Kirby Smart and what he's been able to do, and they have certainly put together a tremendous class.
Derek, there's so many examples of coaches in the SEC who in their first full recruiting cycle really do top-notch jobs. I mean, Urban Meyer at Florida, Saban in Alabama, what we're seeing with Kirby Smart at Georgia right now. Why are we not seeing it with Jim McElwain down at Florida?
Yeah, that's a good question. I live down here. I actually live in Jacksonville, so it's a hot topic down here. I think part of the reason is one, that the in-state competition is pretty incredible in the state of Florida. You look at Florida State, they've been on a great run in recent years. Miami with Mark Richt now, they're getting some guys. And then out-of-state teams continue to come into Florida, the Alabamas, Michigan, Ohio State coming down, Clemson, they've always done well in the state of Florida. There's just a tremendous amount of competition in this state. And if you don't have the right assistant coaches in place, to recruit this state, you have to have some, you know, for lack of a better word, some bulldogs on the recruiting trail. Right now I think Florida has a couple good recruiters, but, you know, with Randy Shannon being promoted to defensive coordinator, they have an open spot available. They really need to identify a strong recruiter, or, you know, Florida State's going to continue to do well. Teams like Alabama and Clemson and all those schools are going to be able to come down here and get some of the top guys away from Florida. To me, they have to make some adjustments on the staff to get a little bit more aggressive recruiters on their staff. That would be my biggest reason if I could pinpoint one thing.
You're listening to Derek Tyson, who covers Southeastern Conference recruiting for ESPN. You're listening to Derek here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Derek, the first couple, 3 years that he was in Knoxville, Butch Jones was able to, I don't know, he created a huge buzz on the recruiting cycle. Yeah, they got Trey Smith, and that's a big one, but it doesn't feel like Butch has kind of made the same splash. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think it's a fair assessment. They put together a good class. I think we have them ranked number, 10th in the country right now in the recruiting rankings. So that it's not a bad class. And obviously getting Trey Smith, the top player in the country, away from Alabama and some of the in Ohio State, Notre Dame, that was a big get for Butch. But I'll say this. I say this with just about every team. You know, if you got to win, you got to win. And that's what's going to get recruits. You know, you see Alabama in the national championship every year. Recruits like that, they want to play in national titles and SEC championship games and things like that. So at some point, you know, it's more than, those first couple of years, the bump you get with a new coach, and then you put together some recruiting classes. At some point, you have to win on the field. And that's what's going to ultimately, you know, recruits, when they're not seeing that, eventually they're going to start not necessarily believing or buying into what you're selling them. And so I think that's where Tennessee is right now. They really have to put up on the field and start competing for SEC titles. And once that happens, you know, recruiting is going to just fall into place. But at this point, that's what recruits are wanting to see is, you know, Tennessee had everything in place this year. They thought they were the team to beat in the SEC East, and it didn't happen. So recruits want to see that from here on out.
Is there a bigger make or break recruit in college football in this cycle than Jared Stidham and going to Auburn?
Well, that was huge. I mean, that was significant for Gus Malzahn getting that type of talent at quarterback, especially with the difficulties they've had over the last 2 years at the position. They really needed some stability there, and getting Stidham was really an incredible drive by their staff. It's really interesting, though, that he developed such a good relationship with Rhett Lashley, and then he enrolls, and then all of a sudden Rhett Lashley just turns around and leaves for UConn yesterday. So I think that's kind of interesting. So it'll be interesting to see what happens as far as who they replace Lashley with as offensive coordinator. But as far as what they want to do and the young receivers, talented receivers that Auburn has, that was a big get with getting Stidham.
Now, I'm certain you're in contact with a lot of these guys, both on the record and off. What is your general takeaway? I know the football coaches passed it unanimously for the early signing period to kind of overlap with the early enrollment period. Are you getting the same type of feedback that everybody's in support of that?
Yeah, I think a majority, I wouldn't say everybody, but I think a majority of coaches are in favor of that that mid-December signing period. I think the June signing period is ridiculous. I think that should never happen. Just because football, there's I can give you all sorts of reasons, basically, but guys can't develop, you know, a lot of times their senior year, they develop the most. So allowing a guy to sign before that is just not fair to the kid. It's not fair to the team. Because if he signs and then he doesn't develop and then the school doesn't even want him anymore, then it's just kind of you're wasting everybody's time. But for the mid-December, I think it's a great idea, especially for the players that you absolutely know they want to go there. They're absolutely 100% certain they want to go to that school. Why waste all your resources and money and all that stuff to go recruit a kid that is certain he's going there? So I like that idea where you can just get them in, you know, you can sign them, they're done, and you don't have to worry about that prospect. You can worry about your other target. My only concern is, you know, some of the smaller schools that have to wait for a lot of their class. You know, I'll use example USF down here in Florida or ECU, somebody like that they're waiting on some of these guys that are interested in bigger schools, but they have to wait till the end to see if the class is full or not, and then all of a sudden they'll fall in their laps at the very end when you know, some of the bigger schools are filled up, and then they have to wait on that. Meanwhile, in Alabama, has filled up their entire class on December 15th, and they can use the last 3 weeks looking forward to the next year, to the next year's class, and bringing visitor junior day visitors in 3 weeks before signing day is even there. Meanwhile, you know, so they're clearly ahead of the game than some of these smaller schools would be, and that's just my concern with an Ohio State and Alabama. schools like that that could fill up their entire class in that December 15th time period and then move on. And it kind of leaves some of these other schools behind the trail for the next year's class.
You're listening to Derek Tyson, who covers Southeastern Conference football recruiting for ESPN. You're listening to Derek here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. Derek, a year ago at this time, I mean, Ole Miss was coming off a Sugar Bowl route of Oklahoma State. You look at the recruiting rankings, and they are way, way down there. I mean, obviously, this NCAA cloud right now is affecting that. But are you shocked at just how low the Rebels rank right now, given the success they've had in recent years? And is there any way in this cycle to kick out of that tailspin?
Yeah, it's definitely a down year for Ole Miss at this point. You know, they had so much turnover on the coaching staff. You know, I think that obviously hurt too. So, you know, overall they have 14 commits, 3 in the ESPN 300. So it's not an awful class, but it's not what we've come to see from Ole Miss recently. And certainly that NCAA investigation going on is scaring some recruits away. And you know, I think just knowing Hugh Freeze and some of the recruiters that he's bringing in, they did bring in a good staff, I think, as far as recruiting goes. So I think they'll catch up at some point over the next few years. But that, again, that all will depend on what that NCAA investigation, you know, what eventually comes down from that. And, you know, if there's a significant scholarship loss and bowl bans and things like that, then it can continue on the downward spin. But, you know, I think if it's not much more than what they already have self-imposed, I think then they'll eventually catch back up and be what we've grown to see over the last few years.
And, Derek, finally, I mean, it seems like each year these classes get put to bed earlier and earlier, but is there a player or two, if you could tell our listeners, that you're kind of most curious about, just a big-time talent that may make for a interesting decision that may take it all the way to signing day that you're curious about?
Yeah, I mean, Marvin Wilson's a guy that from Houston, a big defensive tackle that, you know, obviously, you know, he's interested in the University of Houston, but also LSU, also Texas. He threw USF in there, which is interesting because of his relationship with Charlie Strong. FSU is also in the mix, so he's certainly one to watch. And I believe he's one of the highest ranked players we have at number 7 that's uncommitted. And then another one I would say would probably be LeBryan Ray, a defensive end from Alabama. He really likes Alabama, but I believe he's visiting Tennessee this weekend. We'll also visit Florida. And what I've heard is that he is more open to leaving the state than a lot of people think. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with him. I think that'll be a good battle to watch going forward up until signing day.
Great. Well, listen, Derek, thank you so much for taking the time, and we really do appreciate your insight, and thank you again for joining us here on Press Row.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. Derek Tyson covers Southeastern Conference recruiting for ESPN. We'll reopen the Hardee's Hotline. 648-1051 is the number. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.